Grace and peace to you this morning from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's start with some questions. How do the people you hang around with view Christianity today? How do people in general view Christianity? How does the media view Christianity? Do they see Christians as ambassadors of God, bearing His grace and being generous with His love? Or do they see Christianity as a way to earn a place in heaven through a bunch of rules? And if you don't keep those rules, you're going to be sidelined, downgraded, maybe even excluded from God and His community. The main message many people, not all, but many people hear from Christianity is that they're always against someone or something. Therefore, these same people are likely to see our God as always being against someone or something. And I would say that while mankind certainly has its faults, and while God indeed does at times become very distressed with our disobedience, that neither of these is the main message of the Holy Scriptures. We read the main message of the Holy Scriptures just a few minutes ago. Did you catch it? John 3. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. And that is where the emphasis of our church and our own personal emphasis should be. Romans 3:23-24 goes on to explain more about God's plan of salvation. It says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified, that means made right, by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. God says here and in other places in the Holy Scriptures that salvation is a free gift. And if it is a gift, it cannot be earned or worked for. This, however, runs contrary to what other religions teach. That's why we have so many religions. I get to ask that question sometimes in our Life with God class. They are man-made religions, and they teach that humans will get to heaven or reach a better place or a higher state based on the works that they do. And the key word in these religions is do. You receive God's approval by what you do. A religion such as Islam teaches that your good deeds must outweigh your bad deeds in order for you to go to heaven. And then there's another idea going around, which I saw just on the internet the other day, and that is that all religions are basically the same, you know, just so you have something. But that is false, because they all tell you to do different things. And salvation in Christianity is not based on what we do. It's based on what Jesus Christ has done. Tragically, this idea that what we do is what helps bring about forgiveness of sins and eternal life even made its way into the Christian church a long time ago. About 500 years ago, a man named Martin Luther grew up in that religious system. He became a monk. He read and studied the Bible, not just a little bit, but a lot. He regularly confessed his sins, even the most trivial sins. We are told that he sometimes confessed his sins for hours. His entire adult life was spent trying to appease an angry God. And on one occasion, his confessor, a man named Father Staupitz, became tired of all the sins Luther was confessing and told him to go and do something that was worth confessing. But no matter how hard Luther tried, no matter how much he did, his striving to have a good relationship with God and have peace with God failed. He asked himself such questions as, have I done enough? Am I good enough? Questions that have plagued many people down through the ages. Anyone looking at Luther's life would have said he was very religious. But that did not bring him peace with God. But in his studies, he went back to the book of Romans and studied it closely. And what he discovered changed his life forever. And God used it to alter the course of Christianity. Luther noted that Romans 1 said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." And this was followed by what we already read in Romans 3 about us being justified by His grace as a gift. And that was followed by Romans 5, which said, "Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." The Apostle Paul summed up all of these words from Romans beautifully when he wrote in Ephesians 2, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." That's an important enough passage for us to remember. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. So, then exactly, what is grace? It is often defined as the undeserved mercy of God. And that's a pretty good definition as long as we realize that the word grace and the word mercy is a little bit different. There's a relationship there, but they're different. Mercy is when God doesn't give us what we deserve. And that's eternal punishment for our sins. Grace, on the other hand, is when God gives us that which we don't deserve. The blessings of forgiveness, salvation, and eternal life in heaven. Because Jesus Christ paid for our sins on the cross. And Luther's studies led him to note other teachings in the church that were not based on the Holy Scriptures. He challenged the church to change its ways and return to what it once had, to teachings based solely on the Holy Scriptures. He publicly posted his 95 theses on a church door. He was ordered to appear then at what was called the Dieter Worms in 1521 to defend his teachings. And he went, despite the fact that he was being labeled as a heretic, a false teacher, threatened with being excommunicated from the church, and he had a good chance of being killed. He was given the opportunity to avoid all this at the Dieter Worms if he would recant, take back his teachings about the grace of God and the errors in church teaching that had no basis in the Old and New Testament. He refused. Here are some of the things he said in his defense. He said he would not change his stand on anything unless it could be proven he was wrong by the Holy Scriptures. He said, I do not accept the authority of the popes and councils, for they have contradicted each other. He said, and this is the one that really stuck with me, I love these words, he says, my conscience is captive to the Word of God. He concluded by saying, God help me. Here I stand. I can do no other. And Luther barely escaped with his life. But he and his followers sparked a reformation which led to the formation of the Lutheran Church. And a number of other Protestant churches were formed after ours. The Reformation happened not because Luther was against the church. It happened because he took a stand that all Christian teaching should be based only on the Holy Scriptures. And that our graceful, merciful God has given us salvation as a gift through faith in Jesus Christ. Even though we are all flawed, God has made it possible for each one of us to have a relationship with Him through Jesus. And these are the most important things we need to remember as we observe Reformation Day today. God's grace means that we can be members of His family. God's grace means that we don't have to worry about whether we've done enough good things to be saved. Jesus did it all on the cross. God's grace means that we are His children. And He will heal us. And He will take care of us. And God doesn't play favorites. No matter what a person's background, status, or how many sins he or she may have, you can receive God's grace when you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. I wonder if anybody looked at the title of the message today. Grace, grace, God's grace, and it looked a little familiar. Actually, the words I took from a song I sang for many years at Lutheran Bible Camp in Burton. Those words are the first line of a refrain in a hymn penned by Julia Johnston. I'm going to read just two stanzas of it as we close today. She wrote, "Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt, yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilt. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You who are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin." And how marvelous it is that today, on the very day when we remember and celebrate the birthday of our church, that we also get to respond to God's grace and love for us by showing that we care about Him and we care about His kingdom work. This is our Commitment Sunday. May you be blessed by your actions and deeds, not only today but every day. May they echo the words once spoken by the prophet Isaiah, who said, "Here am I, send me." Amen.